Hallelujah. 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 Look what you've done, Lord. Can you say it today? Look what you've done. Oh, Lord God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look what God has done. God has the power to change lives. Hallelujah. He's changed the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we have something to rejoice about. We have something to celebrate over. We have something to be grateful for. Hallelujah. And it's all because of what Jesus did. Today is the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not just today, really, but every Sunday is a celebration day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But today is the day the world joins together and acknowledges it. Hallelujah. And God is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. And I know, hallelujah, what he's done for me. Hallelujah. Do you know what he's done for you? Then shout it out and proclaim it to the world. Hallelujah. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. 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 The world is filled with distractions to get us to focus on things that have no matter at all, have little meaning at all. They're only good for this life. But life is bigger than this life. Hallelujah. And there's more to life than the world can see. And that is why you and I are so valuable in the kingdom of God, because we're the ones called to bring the light of Christ to a lost and dying world. Because they are in total darkness, but God has given us the light of Christ. Not just because it's written in a book, but because we have experienced it for ourselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so it is the word of the testimony that changes everything. And that is why your voice and mine are so important, to tell our coworkers, our neighbors, our friends, to seize every opportunity that presents itself to testify of what God has done. It's all about what Jesus has done. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad about it. Hallelujah! I am glad about it. And there is reason to give thanks today. And so we are now at the point of our service where we look into the Word of God to see what God is saying to us. And I believe, in fact, I know for a fact that God speaks through his word. And when you see someone like myself come up to present the word of God, the Spirit of God kicks in, if it hadn't been before. And God begins to speak and share what is on his heart through his representative. And the same as it happens for me when I come up here, it will happen for you on your job. It will happen for you wherever you are. Whenever you engage as an ambassador of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord will come alive in you and will quicken you, and you will say what needs to be said. And many times we hold back because we don't know what to say ahead of time, because that's what the world has conditioned us to think. But the Spirit of God gives you what to say in the moment you need to say it. And that's how God works. And so often we prepare, but what we prepare is a pool And the Lord selects from the pool what he's going to use at any given time. And that is why we need to be filled with the Spirit of God, because you never know what you're going to need. And you will always need the strength and the power of God so that you can have the boldness to speak. Because when you represent the kingdom of God, Satan will rise up and he will barricade you so that you feel like you can't do something. And then when you push through, the breakthrough occurs. So don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. And don't be ashamed. But even if you are, push through anyway. Break through anyway. And you will see what God will do through you when you speak as of the oracles of God. The Lord will spring forth life in that situation and in that moment. And God will manifest himself in your life. And it can happen to any one of us, from the smallest to the oldest. God is able to use us all, and there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And it's not just in saying the name of Jesus, because his name alone just has power in it. But when the name of Jesus abides within you, that power also resides in you. And there is nothing you cannot do. All things are possible to them that believe. And that is you. Hallelujah. Or you wouldn't be here today. Hallelujah. And so glory to God. He is risen. He is risen. Hallelujah. I came up here and the Lord just... That's it, Vic. Hallelujah. And God... All right, I'll be here all day. I will be all day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 What a glorious, 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 glorious life experience living in Christ is. You just never know what is going to happen from one day to the next, and you never know what God is going to do. But it all begins with new life, as we have been talking about. God has given us new life. When you are in the place where you surrender your life to God, when you say, God, I don't even know. I don't even understand. Lord, just have your way in my life. Fill me with your Spirit. I tell you, that ought to be the first prayer you pray every morning. God, fill me with your Spirit, Lord God, and give me new life for today. Refresh me. Give me that energy that is renewable in the Spirit of God so that each day can be brand new, that old things would be passed away and all things would be new. There would be a manifestation of the Spirit of God among us. That is what we pray. That is what we are looking for God to do. And as we operate in the realm of the Spirit of God, God does marvelous things, amazing things that you would not expect to happen. God shows up and he will begin to manifest himself and cause things to happen. Do you understand that? He causes things to happen that would not have happened except things went the way they did. And that is something we cannot predict. And many times we go through life operating according to the ways of the world, the ways and the things that we have learned, but we have to operate in the Spirit of God. It's a totally different realm, the realm of the Spirit. The realm of the Spirit is the realm in which God operates and he works. In fact, it is the realm where all angelic hosts and beings operate. And so you and I, we have to operate in the realm of the Spirit, which is where the new life comes from. Hallelujah. New life comes from the realm of the Spirit. It's like when you take a fish out of water. Have you ever taken a fish out of water? Right? What happens? Oh, he starts flapping, right? Hallelujah. He starts flapping. Why is he flapping? Why doesn't he just hold still? Why doesn't he just hold still? It's like, I already got you. You know, just stay still. But the problem is, he's in a different atmosphere. His atmosphere has changed. It's not an atmosphere that he is conducive to. It's not what he was created to be, to function in. And so now everything changes, and he's struggling to stay alive. He wants to get free so that he can get back into the water. And it's a struggle because he's fighting for life and death. And saints of God, you and I are dealing with this very same situation. It is a life and death struggle. You see, life is more than just time on earth. It is eternal. Life is eternal. You and I are fighting a life and death fight for eternity. It's about living forever. And I know this is hard to conceive because we only know this life. But when the Spirit of God comes into you, it's called new life for a reason. It's called being born again for a reason. It's not just a phrase. It's not just something that we say. It's not just something written in a book. It is a reality. It is a scientific fact. It's just that science hasn't caught up with it yet. Hallelujah. But it is a scientific fact. It is a one around you, because if you don't, you end up a dead fish. Dry. You know how many dry Christians there are? Oh, there's a lot of dry Christians. They sit in churches every day. Right about now, they're there. Hallelujah. You know dry fish, right? Yeah, everybody knows dry fish. When it starts to get like that, how do you? You don't even have to see them. You can. Oh, you smell them. Oh, they smell. You can smell dry fish. And the last thing you want to be is a dead fish that's just stinking. No life. There's no living water. There's no thriving. No atmosphere for you to thrive in. And that is why Paul says, walk in the Spirit and you will not be overcome by the desires of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit of God, in the power of God, in the presence of God, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, so that you can have a resurrection-like experience in your life. Because it's not only Jesus. It's not just Jesus. It's not only Jesus who has new life, who is birthed through the resurrection, but you and I are greatly impacted as well. And new life has come to us because of what Jesus did. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we thank you, oh God, for the manifestations that you have provided for in our lives, that we would be able to see and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and doing. God, arise in the midst of your people. Allow your Spirit to prevail. Let us be refreshed and renewed as we celebrate, as we lift up and exalt your name, and as praise is birthed in the midst of our very souls. Let your glory fill the house and dry up every hindering spirit. Drive out every contradictory spirit, every spirit that would hinder your people from hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, that the glory of God may prevail, that when we leave this place, we will leave changed. and never be the same again. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you, oh God. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. New life, it begins with Jesus Christ. It begins with the resurrection of God. I want everyone to understand this. God wants everyone to understand this. That when you are born, God gives you a living soul. But then, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that soul is now filled with the Spirit of God when you receive Christ. When you ask him to come into your heart and into your life, the Spirit of God comes into you. And then you are able to have the capacity to operate in the Spirit of God. And once you are in that place, God can fill you up. He can fill you to overflowing, the Word of God says. You can be overflowing in the Spirit of God. They call that the baptism. That's when you're doused in the Spirit. Woo! Hallelujah! And God will make you fresh and new. He will allow you to experience his power and his glory in your life, and he sustains us as we go through life. And we see that throughout the Word of God. Here in John 11, 23 to 26, we see where Jesus is talking to Martha about Lazarus and the situation that he was in. Because Lazarus had died. Are you familiar with this? Lazarus had died. And Jesus took a few days to get to him. And the thought process was, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus when I needed him? Where is Jesus when it was a life and death situation? Now he is dead and it's too late. Hallelujah. So they thought, right? Because that's how people think. They think that if God's not there, if they don't see him there, that there is no God, that God doesn't exist. And that's why the world asks the question. They say, where is God? Oh, where is God? But the Lord is where the Lord always is, waiting. Hallelujah. Waiting. Because that's what the Lord does. And that's why we wait. We wait on the Lord. And when the Lord moves, we move. And so Jesus says to Martha, when Jesus says to him, he's going to live again, she says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. That was her religious answer. That was a religious answer. You see, a lot of people are religious. They know all of the right things to say, and they know all of the scriptures. They can quote scripture. They can say things in different situations, but it's even bigger than that. Hallelujah. It's even bigger than that. And even though Martha here was theologically correct, she was missing something. She was missing something, and she was missing it because she couldn't see it. She didn't understand it. She didn't have the knowledge of the depth and the magnificence of God. Not only of God, because we can imagine the greatness of God, but she couldn't understand the power that Jesus had. And it is the same power that comes from God, because Jesus is God. Hallelujah. He is God in human flesh. And so you and I are experiencing life in the way that Jesus did. In other words, Jesus is man, because he was physically a man just like us, 100%. But he was also God, and God is spirit. So the spirit and the humanity came together and merged into one. And that is what God is doing in our lives. That is what it means to be born again, to be born with the spirits merging, coming together, where the Spirit of God and your humanity come together. like Jesus. And now you operate according to the principles of your new kingdom, your new atmosphere, the place from whence you came. No longer is your past rooted in humanity. Now your past is rooted in Christ, which leads to the resurrection and the cross, and ultimately all the way back to Adam when God said, "Let us make man." You are renewed in the Spirit of God. And so in this verse 25, Jesus says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." Hallelujah. It's not just one day. You can see it now. I am the resurrection and the life. It doesn't matter. Whenever I show up, when I get here, I can do all things. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. It's the word zeo, right? And it means to live, to experience God's gift of living. It's this Spirit of God that gets infused within to us, and it gives us a new life experience. Every aspect of our lives are changed. It's not just a way of religion. It's not just knowing the right words to say or to things to do. It's about a total surrender so that the Spirit of the Lord can arise within you. And as you surrender your heart and your life to God, God works through you. God does magnificent things. Life comes to you. You come alive. You come alive. Hallelujah. You come alive. Woo! Hallelujah. You're not like dead fish laying on the desert. You are alive. There's life in you. There's sparkle in your eyes. There is this stirring from within you. And the more you spend time with God, the more you come alive. The more you eat, the more you have the Word of God, you drink it in, the more the nutrients of the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God come alive. You can sense in people where they are with God by the radiance of the Spirit that comes from them. Hallelujah. Because when you spend time in the presence of God, the Spirit of God begins to manifest itself in your life. And you begin to erode the very things of the Spirit, of the kingdom of God. And you can feel it every day as you walk around. You can feel His presence. You become more and more sensitive to the spirit realm than you do to the natural realm. At the very least, you feel it the same because you have both. And so Jesus goes on and He says, "He who believes in me will live even if he dies." What? You will live even if you die. God's saying it right here. But we don't understand it because we're still alive. Well, this, the flesh. But if you die, you're still alive. You don't know how much I'm restraining myself right now. Because there's so much I want to say right now, but it'll take us too long. Hallelujah. And then He goes on to say, "Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Never die. You transition. And I know we're afraid of death. People are afraid of death. And, you know, that's what God has given us. That's what keeps you motivated to do the right things. Hallelujah. But even if you die, the Word of God says, in Christ. And notice, this is what He says. He says, if you live and believe. That means you can't live some other kind of way. You have to live and believe. How many people say they believe, but when you look at their lives, they're living some other kind of way? God says, no, the two have to go together. It's a recipe. It's a recipe. And if you don't have the ingredients together, you don't get the results you're looking for. And so God is saying, if you live and believe in him, you will never die. You will never die. You will live. You will transition from one life to the next. And believe me, you will. And you don't have anything to do with it. It's something that is a part of the package. It's a part of the new life agreement, the contract, the covenant that we have, the blood of Jesus. God imparts this life to us, and we have life eternal. Hallelujah. And what does he say? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Oh, my Lord. Oh, ho, ho. What? Know this. Know this. Because it is true. Live your life based on this principle. Verse 26, right here. Make this your verse. Own it. So that you can govern yourself accordingly. So that you can order your priorities accordingly. Allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to be the priority of your life. Turn off the media and the phones and all the stuff and spend time in the presence of God. Allow the Spirit of God to just consume you, and you will be changed. You will be changed. Resurrections are throughout the Word of God. It's not just Jesus. The Bible it shows what happens when the Spirit of God impacts a mortal being. Change happens. Life comes out of it. And when it's imparted purposefully, which you've seen throughout the scripture, do you know how many resurrections there are in the Bible? Do you know how many? Anybody? Well, there's 10. There are 10 instances of resurrections in the Bible throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so it's not just Jesus alone, but there are 10 instances where people were raised from the dead in the Word of God. And that is what God does. And that is why when Christ comes into your life, you're made new. You come alive like never before. In 1 Corinthians 6:14, Paul says, now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, that ought to make you shout. Hallelujah. This is what your experience is going to be. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Oh, my Lord, don't think it's just Jesus who has resurrection power. But when you receive Christ, that same power that raised him from the dead dwells in us, the Word of God says. So you and I, we will also be raised up through his power. Jesus lived, died, and rose again according to prophetic word in fulfillment of the scriptures. It is the word of God that was spoken that Jesus was living out. And I want you to understand this principle because it ought to direct you as you live a new life. It is what makes you a new creation in Christ. It's not just the fact that you believe something, but it's the fact that you are living and believing. That means the things that you do line up with the atmosphere that you are now experiencing through Christ. Amen. Now you're not just thriving, thrapping around in the world, suffering. How many Christians live their lives the same mentality the world does, and they have the same results? They suffer in the same ways, and it's largely because they're operating outside of the realm of the spirit, and they're operating in the realm of the flesh. Jesus modeled the connection between the realm of the spirit and the realm of the flesh, these two natures. And when you operate in the spirit of God, the power of God comes through. Hallelujah. And God manifests himself in our lives in ways that we couldn't even calculate or figure out. It's because God is in the business of creating things out of nothing. Creating things out of nothing. And you look at it and you go, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to say. And all of a sudden, something happens. Hallelujah. Something happens. And then all of a sudden, it just gets done. It's worked out. God causes something to happen. Another factor comes in, and the next thing you know, one and one is now two. And you're like, well, I don't know how this happened, but we have two now. Hallelujah. But if you're making your determination based on the one that you have, you will lose every time, because God is a multiplying God. And God will always add to what you bring. He's waiting to see if you're going to bring what you have to the table. Because if you can bring what you have to the table and lay it before him, he will multiply it. Hallelujah. He will multiply it. But if you keep it to yourself, you will only have what you have. And even that will be consumed, because Satan knows your potential and wants to rob you of what you have so you can't bring it to the table. Jesus. These are principles that are based on the new life, the realm of the Spirit of God. There is the nature of the flesh or humanity, and then there's the nature of God, or the realm of the Spirit. And the realm of the Spirit has both evil and good in it. And that is why we operate according to the Word of God, because God is able to give us the words that we need so that we can live in a way that will bring forth his life. And that is why we abide in him and he abides in us. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians verse 41 in chapter 15, there is one glory of the sun, watch this, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For stars differ from star in glory. They're not all the same. And so he says, also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in perishable body, in a perishable body, and it is raised an imperishable body. This is what Jesus experienced. He took on our sin debt on the cross. He suffered as a human being, and he carried the sin of the world into the grave. He died. Why? It wasn't that Jesus just died. It was that the weight of sin killed him. Hallelujah. The wages of sin is death. In other words, sin causes death. The whole reason people die on the planet is because of sin. Sin is why people die. And because of sin, you and I die. We die. And the principle is that this body is corrupted by sin. And so God says, it can't go. So you have to go. And what does God do? He takes your soul out. And your body goes, bloop, doop. And when people die, it means that the Lord claimed their soul back. Hallelujah. Think about that, because you never know when it's going to happen. And that's a fact. You could be young, and you could be old. It doesn't matter. But the fact is, when your time is up, God comes for your soul. And when he comes for your soul, the body dies. And all the people who are looking at the body go, oh my God, oh, oh, he's dead. Oh, he's gone forever. Oh, no. What a world, what a world. Cruel, cruel world. But the Lord is saying, what are you talking about? They're right here. They are with me. And guess what? They don't even remember that they were here with us. Don't even remember. Hallelujah. They don't even remember. It's like you've been there all the time. This is where I'm supposed to be. And you just going along. Why? Because old things have passed away and all things have become new. If you're remembering things, you cannot operate in newness because you are held in bondage to the old. And the old impacts your ability to be new. And that is why Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. That is what he's talking about. That is why forgiveness is so important in a Christian's life. Because if you don't forgive, you're going to hold on to the negative, to the evil, to the wrong. And that's going to bind you. And you're going to be flapping around like a fish out of water because you're going to be operating in the wrong atmosphere. And you're going to be struggling to try to survive. And God says, I'm giving you a new way of living. So your body is raised, and it is sown in dishonor, and it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. And if there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, you have a spiritual body. Not just a natural body or a physical body or a human body, but you have a spiritual body. And that spiritual body is able to enter into the presence of God. Hallelujah. I know you don't have any idea what I'm saying to you right now. But this is what it means to be born again. He says, so also it is written, the first man, Adam, you remember him in the Garden of Eden, became a living soul. But the last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. Hallelujah. Woo! It's the spirit that is able to commune with God. You are operating. I know we use the word spirit as if it's like a woo kind of thing. But it's just as real as your body, as this. And you can operate in the spirit, where the spirit dominates over your flesh. Because if you let your flesh dominate you, you will find yourself in a place of bondage. You'll be flapping around trying to survive because your flesh is warring against your spirit. Your spirit wants to do what God says to do, but your flesh is saying, no, I feel like this. And whenever you hear people say that, you know they're operating in an atmosphere that is not of God. Because the flesh needs to be crucified. And we need to hear what is the Spirit of the Lord saying so that we can walk in obedience to what he is saying. And when you do, all of a sudden the flesh comes into submission. All of a sudden that feeling, well, I felt, now all of a sudden it goes away. And now it's like you never felt like that in the first place because God did a new thing. New life came out of it. And this is how we overcome. Yes, I might feel like eating an entire Entenmann's cake. Oh, chocolate golden frosting cake. My favorite. Oh, I could eat that whole thing. But the Spirit of the Lord gives me restraint. And my wife says, you will not eat that cake. till it's gone. Today. And so we have to allow the Spirit of God to lead us and to guide us into all truth so that we can overcome the principles of the world, the ways of the world, the flesh. Because in the realm of the world, things make sense with their limited knowledge. Our knowledge is limited in the world, in our humanity. But God is omnipotent, and he's omniscient. He knows all things. He has all power. And God can be everywhere at the same time. Omnipresent. Oh, my Lord. Man, we can't even understand that. You know, even the devil can't do that. What? That's right. The devil can't be everywhere at the same time. That's why he has to send his angels, those demonic spirits. And he's only got a limited, there's more of them than there are of us. So he's got plenty. We know that there are plenty of demons, right? There are so many demons. In fact, the scripture tells us one man had a legion of demons, right? Well, you know, all the demons that existed didn't just go with him. So how many other people had legions of demons? So I can assure you, you and I probably can't count the number of demons that exist in the world. And that is why we need new life in Christ. Because if the Spirit of God dwells in you, then no weapon formed against you can prosper. It cannot prosper. Why? Because you are living and believing. You are living and believing. If you just believe, you might have some benefit to that. But the devil will wreak havoc in your life. But when you align your life to the Word of God in what you believe, then God changes everything. God changes everything. You experience the life-giving Spirit of God. That's what Jesus was talking about when he was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that is what happens when Christ comes into your life, when you're born again, born of the Spirit of God. Nicodemus is operating in the flesh. It's a whole different dynamic. He's using wisdom from men, and his whole perspective is off because he has no knowledge of the realm of the Spirit of God, neither does he know the power of God. And so he is thinking as if God operates by the same rules that humanity operates under. And he does not. And this is what the problem is with many of us. We think that life is according to the abundance of the things in which we possess. And that includes knowledge. And so you and I can't really grasp infinite knowledge. God knows all there is to know. God knows. He doesn't just know everything. He knows all there is to know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People know everything, but God knows all there is to know. You know people know everything because they always demonstrate that whenever you try to talk to them. They say, yeah, I know this. And you say, well, then why don't you live and believe? Because if you know something, you ought to govern yourself according to it. But if you don't govern yourself according to it, do you really believe it? Do you really believe it? If you're not living what you're saying, then the question is, do you really believe? And that is why Jesus asked Martha the question, do you believe this? Because if you believe something, you line your life up so you can have the experience. You don't want to live like a fish out of water, flapping around, trying to survive. God says, I'm going to keep you in living water. I will keep you alive. I will keep you flourishing. Nicodemus is asking, how can a man go back into his mother's womb and be born? That can't happen, can he? And Jesus says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So first, if you're not born again, you can't even see it. But on the other hand, you can't get in without the water and the Spirit. The water is representative of the Word of God. The word of God is often a relation to the water. And whenever you see water in scripture, it's a tie-in for the word of God. The word washes, it cleanses, it makes you new. The Spirit seals you. The Spirit imparts life to you. The Spirit raises you up. It brings you life. It has all of the nutrients and all of the things that you need to be empowered by the Spirit of God so that you can live and live life abundantly. And he goes on and he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And the word there is for flesh is the word carnal, or you can substitute the word human. That which is human is human. That which is carnal is carnal. But that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And I want you to pay attention to the capital S in the first Spirit. He says, that which is born of the Spirit. And he's talking about the Spirit of God. And then he says, is Spirit. It's the word pneuma in both cases. But in the context, it's differentiating between the realm of the Spirit overall and the Spirit who comes from God. The Spirit that comes from God that gives you new life, that gives you that born-again experience, enables you to operate in the Spirit overall. And that is important because you cannot resist the devil in the flesh. You have to operate in the same realm where he operates. And there is warfare in the heavenlies, in the spirit realm. So you must be able to operate in the spirit realm so that the Spirit of God can give you strength to overcome. Because that is where the source of sin lies. It lies in the spirit. And God says, I'm going to give you my spirit to fight the spirit that is impacting the world. Hallelujah. And so he says, do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. In fact, Paul goes on here and he says in Ephesians 2, he says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. We all were. He says, in which you formerly walked according to the curse of this world. Do you not know that the world is cursed? This world is cursed. It's cursed, and that is why we sin. He says, according to the prince, the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Do you see that? There is a prince of the power of the air. Who is that? That's Satan. The world is under Satan's power. Can you see this? I'm not making things up here. The world is under Satan's powers. All your friends in school, all your coworkers, all your neighbors, all these people that you know, they're under demonic influence. Yeah, I'm going to say it the tough way. They're under demonic influence. And the reason that's important to understand is so that you don't get sucked in to their mentality. Because what they're doing, it comes from a realm that they don't even understand. They can't even see it. They can't even relate to it. They just think, well, this is just how I am. No, you're under demonic influence. And that's why, and it's getting worse. It's getting stronger. The evil is intensifying. The power of darkness is becoming bolder and taking more authority. And what do you think that means? I think it means that the Lord is about to do something. And it may be he's coming back soon. Hallelujah. And Satan is getting nervous. And he's causing people to know, I don't know what I am. I don't know. I don't know who I am. I don't know. Oh, what, you know, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, no, this is overwhelming. Oh, this is too much. Oh, I can't handle it. Oh, give me a pill so I can calm down. And that is why there is a state of confusion in the world. It's because Satan is at work. There is the prince of the power of the air. And he's working in the sons of disobedience. That means everybody who is operating according to the flesh. That's disobedience, disobeying the word of God. And even if you know better and you don't do it, that puts you under demonic influence. And you can be under demonic influence and be born of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And there are many people who claim to be believers, but they're under demonic influence. And that is why you and I, we have to operate in the right spirit, because then you can discern the spirits, right? And what Satan wants you to do is get all caught up in positions. Oh, well, you know, I'm a bishop, and I'm a this, and I'm a that, and oh, you know, and I'm a, you know. No, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you got all you need. Hallelujah. You've got all you need. You don't need some earthly human title. It's a distraction. You operate in the realm of the Spirit. You operate under the anointing of God. When the power of God shows up, they'll say, ooh, you got a healing spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, all of a sudden, you got a discerning spirit. You start casting out devils. All of a sudden, you start rebuking the devourer. All of a sudden, you start overcoming sin and darkness and all kinds of stuff. People won't know how to label you. You're going to have it all. They're going to say, you just got Jesus. Hallelujah. What? Hallelujah. Child of God is the best title you could ever have. And when you're operating under the anointing or under the Spirit, you know. And there are a lot of people who get caught up in a human, earthly title or thing. And I tell you, that's how you can recognize a spirit that's off. Something is not right. It ought to be a red flag where there's an emphasis put on that, because that means they can't see something. They're not able to see the realm of the Spirit, how God is really working. There's a distraction, a religious spirit, a religious distraction that goes out to get you caught up. So everybody knows all the right things to say, and they've got all this religious jargon laid out. But God says, live and believe. Live and believe. You will be overcome by the Spirit of God as you walk in faithfulness to the Word of God, able to overcome. Satan loves to cause confusion. He is a master at distractions. He is a master at causing people to get stuck on things and getting hung up on things so that they're thrown off that one degree. He doesn't even need one degree. If he can get you a half a degree off, he'll go with that, or a quarter of a degree, or 1/10 of 1% of a degree. As long as you're off, you will never end up in the right place. And God says, be faithful, stay true. Paul says in Ephesians 2:3, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. What? Children of wrath. You know what that means? That means we get so mad, we're gonna do something about it. Well, I'm not gonna act the way the Spirit of the Lord would have me to act. You're gonna suffer my wrath. And it manifests itself in different ways. Depends on whether or not it's your spouse that's mad at you operating in the wrath, or if it's a coworker, or if it's somebody who you are friends with. It could be anybody. That's humanity. That's your humanity at work. That's not the spirit in which we are living according. Oh, we cannot allow those spirits to operate in us. And when you feel that, you need to withdraw to a quiet place and say, God, renew me, revive me, strengthen me, give me new life. Because if you hold on to that, you will have a bitter root, and you won't be able to operate in the Spirit of God. And so we have to get free of all these things. Paul says we used to be like the world, because that's the world. But he says, don't allow that to operate in your life. And he goes on in 1 Corinthians 15:46. However, the spirit is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthly. The second man is from heaven. Hallelujah. That's Jesus. And as is the earthly, so also are those who are earthly. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthly, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Hallelujah. And so don't be hung up on this flesh, on this body. Understand that you have a spiritual body. Get to know and understand how to live in the Spirit of God, under the direction and the inspiration of the Spirit of God. In verse 50, he says, I say this, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. In other words, this body is not going to heaven. It has to die. It has to die because it is the very thing that hinders us. How many people say, oh, I would come, but I'm tired today. I'm too tired. I'm going to sleep in. There are people who intended to come to church. They said, it's Easter Sunday. I got to go to church. But, oh, I'm so tired. The flesh has power to control you. But the flesh is under demonic inspiration. And so even when you feel tired and weak, especially when it's time to do the things of God, there's a reason for that. And that is why you have to persevere and you must overcome in the strength of the Spirit of God. And the more you feed your spirit, the more you allow the Spirit of God to be refreshed and renewed within you, the more strength and the more power it will have to enable you to overcome the strategies of the enemy that are working against you. And so don't allow this body to hold you back, because it's not going anywhere but to the ground. 100% of people die. Those are the statistics. 100% of people die. Nobody, absolutely no one, lives forever. And so understand that your spiritual body will. Your spiritual body will live forever. Feed your spirit. Abide in the spirit. Get to know the realm from which you are a part of without realizing it. And allow God to manifest himself in your life. And so finally, the flesh, the carnal body, it cannot enter the realm of the spirit. It will not enter the realm of the spirit. 100% of people die. And Jesus has the power to raise from the dead. That's what Jesus did. He demonstrated. He was the first to do it for us. He did it so that we can now also follow in his footsteps. In fact, Matthew says in chapter 25, verse 52, he says, the tombs were open and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep or who had died were raised. What? Did you know that? When Jesus was raised from the dead, he brought with him other saints that had died before him. The Word of God tells us very clearly that the tombs were open. Many bodies of the saints who had died, had fallen asleep, were also raised. It wasn't just Jesus, but Jesus led the captivity to the captive free. He brought them to that place of freedom. It says, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now you're quiet. Never read this verse before, I suppose. Did not know this, I suppose. Well, I suppose you need to get into your word and start studying, so that you can find out how many other magnificent things there are to be said about this life. Jesus had the power to raise from the grave, and afterwards, he brought other captives with him. He said, this is what's going to happen. That is why he is known as the firstborn of many brethren. He said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it weren't so, I would have told you. That's John 14, right? In verse 2, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Saints of God, he's preparing a place for you. There is a heavenly place for you. God is not just, you know, sitting up there watching things down on earth as if he's watching the game. He's not just rooting for his team to win. He's actively engaged. He's saying, I know we're going to win. We already won this. Let me start preparing a place of victory for the place of celebration. Let me prepare a place for my people who will live forever. Oh, he's preparing a place for you. He is preparing a place for me. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Wow, where are we? He will come again. He said he will come again. And not only come again, he will receive you to himself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, saints of God, you have a place that's being made ready for you. And so in Romans 8:29, Paul says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but Jesus is my brother. Hallelujah. Oh, he is God, but he is my brother. And I don't know about you, but I got many brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. And we're all going to that place that has been prepared for us. We're all experiencing new life. And we are all looking forward to the things to come, knowing that God is able to do abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. And that is why he says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Martha! Come on, Martha. Hello, Martha. Martha, are you there? Yeah, let me tell you. I am the resurrection and the life. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this, Martha? Martha, do you believe this? Oh, saints of God, I pray that you believe this. Don't live your life like a fish out of water. Don't be just trying to get by with just enough Jesus, just enough of the word. No, make sure you're thriving so that you don't end up a dead fish, so that you don't end up in a place where you can't relate to the things of the Spirit of God. Know that Jesus was raised from the grave, and it is a representation of what is happening to you and I. It is our future. It is our destiny. We too will be like him. It's not only Jesus, but it's you and I also who will experience the kingdom's power and the glory of God. So arise and celebrate and give thanks to God in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's start singing. No sweeter sound than we know how to make it loud. It's not here. Hallelujah. Celebrate the King seated on the throne. The glory is yours forevermore. Still ahead. Oh, it's just getting started. Our lips will raise. The light is great. Oh, it's just getting started. The Lord is doing a new thing. He's done a new thing in me, and I know he's doing a new thing in many of you. And God is looking. He is looking for people that he can pour himself into. God is looking for people he can utilize to represent the kingdom of God and the very principles of God. I pray that you are making yourself available. I pray that you realize that you are benefiting from the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Jesus is raised from the grave today, but it is only a representation of what will happen to you and what will happen to me. Oh, saints of God, you ought to be glad, and you ought to celebrate and rejoice. Give thanks, because God God loves you and cares for you enough to save you, to give you new life, and allow you to experience the same power that raised up Jesus from the grave in your life. You too are more than a conqueror. You too are an overcomer. You too are one who the enemy cannot prevail against. You are the church of the living God, and the kingdom of hell will not prevail against you. All you need to do is live and believe. Live and believe. I pray that you live and believe the word of God, and that the Spirit of God is being poured out into your life, and that you are experiencing Him in a new way, in this new day, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you thanks, oh God, for all these things. And we ask that you would pour out your Spirit upon your people. Renew our minds and help us to think the way you think and to see the things that you see, that we may operate in the realm of the Spirit so that we're not living life like a fish out of water trying to survive, but we would operate according to divine purpose, divine plan, and divine design, so that we would